Peas, couch, and potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And yes. And that's pretty much all I have to say this week. I'm out of here, folks. That's it.
Oh, good. Well, good. That, yeah, I don't have to hear you.
No, I'm kidding. This week, we've got all kinds of stuff to kind of talk about.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, we have Percy Jackson and the Olympians, the Lightning Thief, in the race for 2010's longest title.
Yes.
We also have the Wolfman and Valentine's Day, which is in the race for the world's longest movie. So,
just wait till Oscar season. Yeah. I'm sure they'll have longer titles and longer movies.
But before we get to all of those shenanigans, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can go over to fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. We were just discussing iTunes in our show prep. You should go to iTunes, search Fat Guys of the Movies, be listening to Fat Guys of the Movies. Then what you should do is you should review Fat Guys at the Movies. Give us, say, 5 stars as an example, and then write a review and say something along the lines of, this is just an example, I don't know if this is really what you'd want to say, but this is probably what
Neil
you should
Miller
say.
Neil Miller can cure cancer.
Neil Miller is awesome. And Kevin Carr is okay.
And Kevin Carr
been
upgraded beat Neil Miller in the face.
So you should do that. It's on iTunes. You know, yeah. Email us fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com or leave us a voicemail, area code 614-388-8735. You can also get us on Facebook now. Just search Fat Guys of the Movies. You can Twitter us. I'm twitter.com/rejects and Kevin is twitter.com/KevinCarr. It's kind of
you make fun of that every time. You're like, well, it's a stupid name.
It's kind of an original. However, you know. That's his name. So there's plenty of ways for you to get a hold of us. But since you're
We're
already listening,
this segment out a lot.
Yeah, since you're already listening, I'm just going to assume that you know how to get a hold of us.
Have we gotten any voicemails lately?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You sign into this thing every week.
No
voicemails?
I don't think so.
Did you have a chance to listen to the guest host that we had while you were at Sundance?
Still no, not yet. It's been a busy time since coming back from Sundance. We go right into South by Southwest preparation.
Like, there's food to eat. There's
no. We go right
drink.
From Sundance to South by Southwest. I have in my email inbox about 100 emails from the last 2 days.
I thought it was because you spent South the last. Southwest. I thought you spent the last 2 weeks watching 5 seasons of Doctor Who.
Well, I did that as well. Can I talk? Can we talk about Doctor Who at some point in this episode?
Heck yeah! No,
I love Doctor Who. I just finished the last David Tennant special because I got them all on Blu-ray.
And the End of Time.
Yeah, The End of Time Part 2. That guy is an amazing actor. Mm-hmm. He gives one of the most emotive performances down the stretch as Doctor Who.
And is this the first time you've ever watched any Doctor Who?
Yeah, I started with Christopher Eccleston. Mm-hmm. Season 1 of the 2005 series, yeah. And have moved through David Tennant, and I'd never watched
moved through David Tennant like a bad fruitcake.
I had never watched Doctor Who before, and I was, you know, it's very fun. It kind of takes on that same vein as Battlestar Galactica, where it's like this super fun. It's kind of like, but not exactly like Battlestar Galactica. What's another show that it's kind of like?
It's like Stargate.
Yeah, kind of like Stargate, where it's just like there's so many different iterations of it, and there's so many different storylines, but it's all so much fun. Doctor Who is so much fun, and David Tennant really is what kind of sells it.
Well, and here's the thing. I watched Doctor Who in the 70s, back when
Tom Baker.
Yeah,
I haven't gotten to any of those yet.
And they're different. I mean, it's BBC productions in the 70s, so it's all on video, and it's real cheesy, and it's goofy special effects. But I used to watch with Tom Baker, and he is, in my opinion, still the best Doctor Who, because it's what I watched in my childhood. Mm-hmm. And when I saw I thought Eccleston was okay. I didn't think he was fantastic. When I heard he was going to do it, I'm like, oh, he'll be awesome. And then I saw him, and I'm like, oh, he was okay. He didn't suck, but he was okay.
Right.
And then David Tennant came on, and he just nailed it. And he to me, after seeing, and I've seen, I think I've seen at least a couple episodes of every version of except I haven't seen the last guy. And his name escapes me.
Matt Smith?
No. The last guy in that first era. It's totally blanking on his name. The Eighth Doctor, the guy who was the Eighth Doctor before Christopher Eccleston. I never saw his stuff, but I saw everybody else's, and I have to say that David Tennant is a real close second to Tom Baker. He is a fantastic Doctor Who, and I'm real curious to see how Matt Smith does, because I'm not quite sold on him yet.
He seems a little bit more like
Crispin Glover.
Yeah, but he seems more like David Tennant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Paul McGann was the guy that you were thinking about before.
No.
He was the Eighth Doctor, Paul McGann.
Well, who's? Oh, no, no, no.
Sylvester McCoy, Colin Baker.
Sylvester McCoy, that's who it was. Paul McGann was, they did a TV movie, of an American TV movie.
Right, but he was
of
technically
Doctor. That was Paul McGann. Yeah, you're right, he was the seventh. It was the Eighth Doctor. The Seventh Doctor was Sylvester McCoy. I've never seen Sylvester McCoy stuff, but I think everybody else I've seen in some form or another. So, but you know, see, you got to listen to me more, because I raved about Battlestar Galactica. It took you the longest time to watch it, and you did, and you were totally sold on it. Same thing with Doctor Who. You need to now watch Stargate.
You know, I just got Stargate SGU 1.0 or whatever.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the
yeah, and I haven't watched it yet. I've never seen it. Well, seeing I've never watched the Stargate television show.
Well, that's what I mean. There's SG-1, which was 10 seasons, and which really they're kind of the beginning of the first five and the last five are kind of somewhat different. Mm-hmm. And then you had Stargate Atlantis, which is good. And SGU is very different. You should go back and watch SG-1 or actually Atlantis. You should watch. So that's my prescription to you.
Well,
drink your vitamin
now
water.
Now that I'm done with the Doctor Who, I might check it out.
Yeah.
Or I have to start watching The Wire, which is just something that everyone else tells me I need to start watching. So
yeah, we'll
see.
I haven't seen The Wire.
Anyway, we should probably at least play the trailer for Percy Jackson and the Olympians.
Yes, let's introduce this. This is Percy Jackson and the Olympians, the Lightning Thief. A teenager discovers that his deadbeat dad is actually Zeus, and gets in the middle of an Olympus-sized family feud between him and Hades.
There are 12 Olympian gods. Big three are the brothers Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades. The children of these gods were half human, half gods.
Hey, Mom. I thought this school was supposed to make things better.
Someday it'll all make sense.
Percy Jackson, we need to talk.
Miss Dodds?
Whoa! They found him.
Who found me?
I don't know if they were quite as white trash in this movie as I made them out to be in that description.
Well, and you know what? It's funny. I talked to the screenwriter of this movie.
Yeah.
Craig Titley, who is like super...
Sorry.
Well, he actually made a joke about that. He wants to become a plastic surgeon.
Ooh.
So he can be Dr. Titley, plastic surgeon.
That's awesome.
Anyway, but he talked about this being, and neither one of us have seen it, correct? You haven't seen it, and I haven't seen it.
Yeah, they didn't screen it in Columbus, and I was going to go up to Cleveland to see it.
Yeah, they didn't screen it here. But from what I hear, it's actually pretty good. From what I hear, people in New York liked it. And
my kids are dying to see it. I'm going to take them on Friday.
And the one thing that I like that he mentioned, because I asked him, like, what is it that you haven't been able to say about the movie? And he said that it feels very Amblin era Chris Columbus. So, like, Goonies era Chris Columbus. And
Goonies, well, he just wrote Goonies.
Yeah. But, like, it feels like he's kind of going back to that early...
He's not Bicentennial Man era.
Right. But, like, Goonies and Home Alone and stuff like that. And he said that's kind of a cool thing that no one's picked up on, so... I don't know. We have to go to a break. We'll talk more when we come back. And we're back here on Fat Guys in the Movies. And just to finish up our thought on Dr. Craig Titley and... and Percy Jackson and the Olympians, the Lightning Thief.
Wow.
Is that he said it? I thought that was kind of a cool thought.
Yeah.
To think that it goes back to like Amblin adventure road movie days, and it's kind of more of a road movie. You know, and I like Greek mythology. That could be fun. You
sure.
Know? So I'm actually of the movies that I have to go see this weekend because I didn't see them. I didn't either see them at screening or they weren't screened. I'm just as excited about Percy Jackson as I am for this next movie that we're going to be talking about.
Yes, and that is The Wolfman. Benicio del Toro is Lawrence Talbot in this remake of the 70-year-old Universal Classic Monster movie.
You believe in curses?
Never look back, Lawrence. Never look back. The past is a wilderness of horrors.
Darkest hours of hell lie before you.
Run free. Kill or be killed. It is glorious, isn't it?
Now, I was totally determined to see this movie. I've been dying to see this movie. I'm real excited to see it.
As have I.
And it was a similar story with Percy Jackson, although it was because they moved around the times of the screenings. But, you know, I live in Columbus, and they were doing a screening of The Wolfman in Cleveland, 2 hours away, two and a half hours away. Well, I was totally set to go, and then a massive snowstorm hit Ohio. And I'm like,
always with the excuses, you.
True, dude. Look, go to the Weather Channel and go get your box set of the Weather Channel, the complete 18th season, and you will find that, yes, there was a snowstorm that hit Cleveland. So I wasn't able to go see it. So I'm going to check it out.
That sucks.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. It's not going to get a preemptive suck.
I have a slightly different excuse.
Okay, what's your excuse? You just like slept
so there. No. There was a screening and there was no snowstorm here in Austin. However, our screening was on Tuesday night. And Tuesday night, as you know, is lost night. So it came down to a group decision of whether or not we go see The Wolfman or Lost.
Wait, did you go out to see Lost? Are you one of these people that go to like the movie theater and
see No. We have everybody over here.
Why didn't you just
here at the Reject HQ?
There are these things called DVRs that automatically record.
That's irrelevant.
Everything.
We need to watch it live.
You're so weird.
So I watched Lost.
It wasn't even that good of
Wolfman.
An episode of Lost.
It was just okay.
Yeah, it wasn't fantastic.
But I heard that The Wolfman wasn't that good either.
I'm dying to see it. I see. This is the thing. It's directed by Joe Johnson, who did.
Jumanji. He's made a few messy movies.
Well, but he did Jumanji. He did Jurassic Park 3, which are both sort of cheesy movies, but I love them both.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting a lot of goofy.
I'm still really
fun.
Excited about it. I mean, Landon Palmer reviewed it for Film School Rejects, gave it like a C-.
Yeah, well,
and he was pretty level-headed about it. He was like, just, you know, feels like there was about 25 minutes cut out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob Hunter from Film School Rejects as well, hated it.
Rob.
Like, actively hated it. But he hates everything.
He will, like, rail. He'll hate certain things and just be, like, venomous again. Like, I'll give a great example. Rob Hunter. You know, God love you, Rob Hunter. I think you're a great guy, but... You know, seriously, you know, chill out about the Avatar hate because, you know, I mean, I understand if you don't like it, but you got to recognize that a lot of people did.
Yeah. Know? Well, I mean, he didn't like it, but I mean, he's a big horror fan. So there, I guess there's a little bit.
Well,
to
but
that.
See, he's a horror fan in the sense of he's like, oh, octopuses killing Japanese schoolgirls. That's the kind of movie that Rob Hunter goes for.
So, despite the fact that I've heard some bad things about The Wolfman and that I think right now it is currently sitting at the whopping score of 38% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That doesn't mean anything. Nobody likes
it. I'm still excited to go see it. I'm still going to go pay money to go see it.
I'm
going to
go see it because I want to see Emily Blunt's non-Oscar nominated performance. Or she wasn't nominated for an Oscar. She was nominated for a Golden Globe for Young Victoria. Right.
Yeah. So, there.
Yeah. I'm excited to see it. I really want to see it. I'm taking my oldest son, Liam. Because I look at it, it's rated R for bloody violence. And he's like, rock on, bring it on. Ripping heads off, yes.
Yeah, Roger Ebert liked it.
Really?
Yeah, which is interesting. All right, moving on. Next movie we're talking about is Valentine's Day, which, as you listen to this, you're probably in the throes of Valentine's Day.
What exactly?
This weekend.
What exactly constitutes throes of Valentine's Day?
I don't know. Hopefully you're planning on...
getting some. Is that what you're
talking
about?
I'm just going to let you go with that one. but anyway, this movie is literally called Valentine's Day, and everyone and their mother in Hollywood stars in this ensemble rom-com about love and marriage on Valentine's Day in Los Angeles.
last night
was
amazing.
Thank you.
Oh my God. Well, I used to be a gymnast. Did I hurt you? It's not like I'm gonna sleep with one person for the rest of my life, right? I mean, who does that?
Crazy people like us.
Checking in for two?
Okay.
I mean, one and a dog.
Oh, great. Happy Valentine's Day.
You too.
It's my fault that I'm alone on Valentine's Day. My closest relationship is with my BlackBerry.
Right.
Thank God it vibrates.
I'll let you take first crack at this because I know you're dying to.
Well,
go.
There's a few problems with this. A few big problems.
Okay.
With this movie. One is that there's a lot going on. There are about 7 or 8 different main storylines to this movie.
No, there's 7 or 8 storylines, but there's only like 1 or 2. Big ones.
Yeah, but there's 7 or 8 storylines that have stars in them or names or actors in them that make them feel more important than they really are.
Yeah.
And that's not a problem at the beginning. The beginning of this movie is actually quite charming. Some of the opening stuff is not bad. Mm. But as the movie
you just like seeing Topher Grace without a shirt on.
Kind of, maybe. I mean, although that in that scene I also got to see the long, gorgeous legs of Anne Hathaway.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, there's no going wrong there. However, the problem is when this movie starts to kind of close up these stories after you've kind of gone through this journey, it becomes this very kind of confused mess. And not only that, it turns into probably the single longest rom-com ever. Yeah. It feels 7 hours long.
It's 2 hours. It's a good solid two hours.
I mean, it's a good, but it feels really long, and that's because it takes so long to wrap these stories up, and I think that's a problem. I walked out of the movie feeling like this is, it's the perfect Valentine's Day movie, because it represents everything that is cheap and commercial and sappy and terrible and good and awful about Valentine's
wow.
Day, the holiday. It's
wow.
the same kind of movie. But I wonder whatever happened to When Harry Met Sally? Whatever happened to telling a story about one couple or two couples? Why does it have to be 8 couples in this movie? And I think that they don't balance that well. They don't balance these stories off of each other. And it feels really, really disjointed. So I totally sucks.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it kind of rocked. No.
That would have been a nice little turn, wouldn't it?
No, here's my take on it. I see this as an attempt to redo a more optimistic version of He's Not That Into You. He's Just Not That Into You.
Oh, totally.
And, you know, or kind of recapturing the magic of Love Actually. Now, Love Actually, I thought...
It's very Love Actually.
It's very... But see, Love Actually was... Love Actually at the beginning
really
seemed somewhat
good.
Disjointed, but everything came together really nicely in Love Actually.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this one, I think you're right, it kind of goes the opposite direction, and there's a little bit too much of, I mean, I get the point of them having all these different characters kind of running into each other and everybody's connected to everybody else like an episode of Lost, but it does seem a bit far-fetched, and it seems like they had this idea for a couple movies.
Mm-hmm.
But they just didn't have enough story for these movies. So they just crammed everything together and just said, let's do the Ocean's 11 thing and get all our friends from Hollywood to be in this movie. And I guess it works to a degree. I mean, for sort of like, this is the thing. If you're a chick and you're in a relationship, you're going to love this movie. And you'll drag your boyfriend or husband to this movie. I mean, I thought it was okay. I like Gary Marshall, and I like most of the people in this movie, but I was just kind of like, it wasn't his best film. But I'll tell you, if you're, especially if you're a woman, and you are not in a relationship, you will want to kill yourself after this film, because it's all the positive, fluffy parts of Valentine's Day. And, I mean, it has its down moments, but it's really kind of like, oh, isn't love grand kind of thing. And, I mean, you know who you are. And there are characters like this in the movie, but yeah, if you're one of those characters who's not in a relationship and has this seething hatred for Valentine's Day, do not go see this movie.
Yeah.
But I think it has to be noted, and we'll talk about this in the next segment. Taylor Swift does her acting debut, and she's, you know, I'm going to let you finish,
she's
Taylor.
Just...
But, you know, Beyonce... had a better acting performance than you did in most of her films.
Oh, my. Well, I think we're going to explore that later in the show. But really, she's just, I mean, somebody, that's just mismanagement on Gary Marshall's part. Because she's not a terrible actress. She's actually kind of funny. She was in Saturday Night Live, and she was kind of funny. But It's just like she was just poorly overacting.
Yeah.
And I blame that on the director. So
okay.
That's my last thought. We're going to a break now.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. One more thing about this whole Taylor Swift thing, because you went on to defend her, because
I
think
did.
Somehow you
well,
think that, you know, she's tall and skinny and you're tall and fat, and that you might cancel each other out if you had mated.
Wow. I don't even know what to say about that.
Well, here's the thing. You made the point off the air that you thought it was a director's problem, that it was...
She cannot be that bad of an actress. I've seen her do other things that are better.
You may be right, but I would submit that she might be like a one-note actress, that she can play certain things, but... she just has no knack for comedy in that sense. And I don't know whether it was like they said play dumber. They would just say play bigger. I give her a lot of credit because she committed to the performance.
Yeah, oh, God, she committed to a pretty horrible performance.
I mean, she went all out, and she had no problem making herself look like an ass, which is part of comedy. You have to be fearless. So she was fearless. And it is kind of a shame because she was fearless. She just failed miserably at it. But on another note, from the other Taylor side, you did have Taylor Lautner in there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if everyone realizes this, but this past Thursday is a monumental time because that was when Taylor Lautner turned 18.
Oh.
So all you creepy twi moms out there that were drooling over him in New Moon, he's still underage in New Moon, and he's still actually underage in the next Twilight movie, but you now can feel less creepy because you were drooling over the male Miley Cyrus.
Fair enough. Well, at least he's of age now.
I give your mom credit because she goes after Gerard Butler.
Yeah, no, she knows her limits.
Yeah.
she knows what's okay and what's not okay. What's clearly not okay.
Hey, I got a question. If you ever have because they do press coming through Austin, or even if you went up to Dallas to do press, if there's an opportunity to do an in-person one-on-one interview with Gerard Butler, would you invite your mom down to be your assistant during the interview?
Oh, of course. I think at this point we have proved on this show that I'm willing to do that, because you asked him 5 questions for my mom. That's one level of separation. So I might even get my mom, I might even buy her a plane ticket, fly her down, and let her do the interview.
Wow.
That's an interesting story to me. I would get out my flip cam, I would flip cam it, and I would post that on the website, and people would love that crap, man.
Here's the deal. I would absolutely do this if, and I'll make this commitment to you, if ever Gerard Butler comes through Ohio, either in Cincinnati or Cleveland, or if, you know, if something amazing happens and he comes through Columbus, and I were able to do a one-on-one interview with him, I would totally invite your mom down here.
Yeah, why not, right?
And she'd drive down.
It's
for
a way better
she?
Story than one of us doing the interview.
Yeah, yeah, because he got a real kick out of talking.
Yeah,
about
no,
your mom.
I think he would. I think that actually might get us the interview if we told the publicist, "Hey, my mom's going to do the interview. She's like his biggest fan in the world." Because I mean, that's there's awesome. No way that's going to turn out negatively for him.
I will. So. I will have to look into his, because he's got a lot of movies.
Well, yeah, I know, right? So anyway, box office. We gotta talk about box office.
Yeah.
So the big news is that Dear John knocked off Avatar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like that was a huge feat, because it is the 8th week of release of Avatar.
Right, but it took 17 weeks for Titanic to. Wow, this is boring news.
Wake up! Wow,
it took
man.
17 weeks.
It's like box office
for Titanic to go down, and it eventually went down to Lost in Space.
Yes.
So.
Well, and here's the thing. The other thing
seems fitting.
Well, you know, Dear John did very, very well. In fact, it didn't break the Super Bowl weekend record because, the initial numbers said it did, but then it didn't. Like, it was overestimated a little bit, so it still didn't quite beat out Miley Cyrus.
Right.
Best of Both Worlds concert. This is a depressing, news story all around.
I'm That's why I'm not talking. I'm just depressed.
I tweeted that out, and I said the terrorists have won. Anyways, yeah, so that one, and from Paris with Love, made about $18,000, I think, this last weekend.
Yeah.
And it's because they didn't show it to us. That's my theory, is they didn't show it to
us. Well, From Paris with Love actually was pretty good. That's why I don't understand why Lionsgate didn't screen that for critics, or at least, you know, online critics.
They didn't widely screen it for critics.
And it was a lot of fun. It was a little bit sillier, a little bit funnier version of the action that we saw in Taken.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the hell out of it. So
I wanted to see it. I was excited, and they didn't have it. And this is the thing, and I said this to somebody. I said this on the radio. I have to take a little bit of responsibility because I think some of my reviews of it or interviews about it may have impacted it, because I said on a couple of radio stations that I did interviews, I said, well, they didn't screen it for critics in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't have a midnight screening. And I said, they did a midnight or midnight showing where you could pay to go see it. Mm-hmm. So, but they had a midnight showing of The Spy Next Door.
Right.
And I said, and it was the same studio. And I said that to a couple hosts, and they're like, oh, this movie must be awful then. So Lionsgate, that's what you get for not showing me the movie. I will crush you.
Fair enough.
That's my demands.
So there's that, I guess.
What do you think's going to win this week? Wolfman?
Yeah, I think Wolfman will win. I think there's enough behind Wolfman.
How much have they spent on advertising?
A ton of marketing for Wolfman. Also, I think Valentine's Day is going to do incredibly well. Valentine's Day is the widest release. Mm-hmm. I think really all three. I wouldn't be surprised if they are all three are in the top five. Valentine's Day, Percy Jackson, The Wolfman, because they're all three different demographics. I think Avatar is starting to lose a lot of steam.
You're going to see Avatar really go down the slope at this
right,
point.
Because and in like gonna, 2 weeks, it's really kind of getting hit with a lot of competition this week.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, you know, everybody's kind of seen Avatar.
Well, you know,
the movies
I
make $2.2 billion without everyone seeing them.
Yeah. I think it's going to end up topping out domestically. It'll be under $700 million domestic. I don't think it'll crack $700 million.
Yeah, it's at what, 633 going into the weekend. I think it's 650, 675 mm-hmm. maybe at the most.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I think Avatar is pretty much done at this point. Time to start talking about the DVD release or whatever, and I think the Wolfman will win or Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day has a really good chance. I think it's gonna be really tight between those two. So, and then Percy Jackson, I think, will probably make some good money, too. It's a good weekend to be out at the movies.
I don't think Percy Jackson's going to... It has a very distinct teen-tween child appeal. But I think outside of that demographic, nobody cares. Or is it even aware of it, outside of the demographic?
I don't know. We'll see. There's been a lot of advertising for that, too. They're spending a lot of money on that. So, we'll see. Hard to say. I definitely think the Wolfman has the best chance to win. You know why? Because
Would it be a howling good time?
It'll be a howling good time. When I was, and this is a weird way to gauge stuff, but for some reason it's really effective.
Mm.
Because, you know, my mom, she reads the site kind of, but, doesn't really, and she listens to our show, but...
Yes!
But I don't think that...
I love you, Neil's mom.
You know, it's very rare for her to get advanced awareness of movies that aren't Gerard Butler movies or she knows when the next, you know, she knew when Transformers was coming out because Transformers is like that, the awareness on stuff like that is so high Star Trek, she knew about that one. And
The Spy Next Door.
But when I was at home for Christmas, one of the only movies she kept talking about was The Wolfman. And I think there is this appeal to, I think, the cast and just kind of the classic nature of the Wolfman. And everybody knows that Wolfman story because it's a classic monster. I think there's an appeal to kind of the older demographics to the Wolfman. So I think that's what will separate it from Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Is that people know the Wolfman, the name is very, very universally known.
Well, plus there's all the dudes that aren't going to go see Valentine's Day.
Right.
I mean, seriously, if you're going to go see Valentine's Day, you're either a woman in a group or you're on a date. I can't imagine anybody else going in. I can't imagine the 45-year-old you know, CEO of a company going, I'm going to go see Valentine's Day on my own on lunch hour.
Right.
I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see it happening either. So yeah, no, I see the Wolfman winning. I see Valentine's Day being number two. I think mm-hmm. Dear John's going to take the crap this week. So it's going down.
Yeah, I think Dear John's going to crash and burn against Valentine's
Day. Too much star
Everyone
power
who saw
on Valentine's
it,
Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on. Time for the Fat Guy 5, which has nothing to do with monsters.
Sorry.
The Fat Guy 5 is five music stars who shouldn't have tried acting in honor of Taylor Swift's confusingly bad performance. That's the way I would describe it. It's confusingly bad because it's bad, but also I don't understand why it's so bad. It should not have been that bad.
Yeah.
So number one is Taylor Swift, clearly.
Yeah. Gee, I mean, if this is the way you're going to start your career as an actor, don't hang up your guitar yet, dear.
Right. I mean, she's a good singer. She's cute.
Yeah. She's a little skinny, though. I didn't realize how skinny she was until I'm watching the movie, and it's 30 feet high, and she's 30 feet high, and she's maybe about 6 inches across.
Fair enough.
She is skinny. You know, I interviewed her once, like, before she became huge.
You interviewed Taylor Swift once?
Yeah, yeah.
What was she, like, 10?
No, she was 16. I interviewed her at a, it was over the phone, but it was her right before she blew up, because she was doing her first opening performance for, like, Tim McGraw.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really funny, because she was, like, just this giddy little teenager.
What was it for?
I used to do write for a newspaper. She was
coming to town. You used to be a real journalist.
Yeah, I used to be an honest-to-God journalist. And it was like Tim McGraw was coming to town, and he didn't want to talk to me. So they're like, well, talk to this little girl.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah. Then of like 2 years later, they're like, Taylor Swift's the greatest thing ever. I think that's exactly what – I think Mary Hart said that in the exact same voice on Entertainment Tonight.
I see. Mm. Okay, well –
Next one.
Next one is, I don't know, what's the next one?
Mariah Carey.
Oh, yeah, that's the obvious one.
Yeah. Glitter. And this is for Glitter. And other movies. She was in another movie. I can't even remember what it was. I forget. She had a cameo in something, and I remember seeing it, and it was awful.
Yeah, she's been in some bad stuff.
And all these people, like, going gaga over her because of Precious. But if you really watch her performance in Precious, she doesn't do anything. She just sits there. And I mean, she looks different enough, and she doesn't ruin the movie.
So I guess it's a step up.
But really, if you look at her performance, she just sits there and she cries. At one point, she cries, and that's it. And then she tells her off in her sort of sassy way.
Right.
And that's about it. So I mean, it's not like. Whereas if you look at Precious, Monique really goes through a bunch of different things, and she does a lot with emotion. Whereas Mariah Carey, it's like wow, she didn't suck in that scene. She just sat there,
yeah,
and didn't do anything.
Fair enough. What's the you pretty much have the rest of these, because this is an awesome list. But
Vanilla Ice, because you said it best. You're like, what has he been in other than Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Part 2, The Secret of the Ooze?
Well, and in Secret of the Ooze, he was at least himself. Which is the easiest thing to play in the world. Just be yourself. Mm. Unless yourself sucks.
He was in the movie Cool as Ice, which came out right around the same time because his career lived for about 5 months. but it was his own Vanilla Ice vehicle, mm-hmm. which is terrifying. And I mean, in that sort of that, I don't belong anywhere near the ghetto outfit that he would wear.
Right.
The next one is Britney Spears.
Of course.
Because Crossroads wasn't nearly as entertaining or as effective as the Britney K-Fed sex tape.
Right.
that we all see advertised on Twitter.
Yet, I don't think anybody's ever seen it.
No, I guess it has those screen captures you see on the Twitter feeds, and that's it.
Interesting. I wonder if the tape really exists.
I'm sure it does. They got a YouTube video of her burping. And scratching her feet.
Kevin, things you know.
You've never seen that video?
No.
Yeah, she's drunk. And she's like stoned. And she's talking to K-Fed. She's eating fries after a performance. She's burping. Anyways, The last one is, and this is simply because we were scrounging for other names for this list, and I'm like, well, I'm watching Ong Bak, and the RZA is did the soundtrack, and I'm like, you know what, the RZA is a fantastic musician,
and he did a great soundtrack for Ong Bak,
as he did for Protector, and I mean, he's right. A great musician, but an actor,
not so much.
First of all, he's not exactly what you'd call eye candy.
Right.
Unless your candy is made with sewage, because he does not look good. Not. I mean, this is not saying he's sewage. I'm just saying he doesn't look good.
Right.
And he's not a good actor. Wasn't he in like Funny People?
I think so. Oh yeah, yeah. He played his dude that worked with Seth Rogen. I mean, he was just kind of there though.
Yeah. He just isn't that good.
And then you have one. One
honorable mention,
which is actually somebody who did succeed as an actor, which is Ice Cube.
Not that he's a great actor, he just, like Mariah Carey and Precious, he can work in the role.
Yeah. So
I mean, you really can you name the Ice Cube movie where you're like, wow, he was awesome, aside from Triple X?
Or are we there yet? No, I can't. But I mean, he picks good roles. That's mm-hmm. what matters, especially if you're trying to, you know, Taylor Swift picked a bad role for her in Valentine's Day. Yeah. So anyway, that's all we really have to say about this. So when we come back, we're going to send you off into the wilderness. Wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies.
Fat Guys at the
Movies.
Made
it through 152 shows now.
Almost 152.
Almost. We have several moments left in this show. But so far, just to recap for you what's happened.
You mean over the whole 150 shows?
No. Well, it starts
with
man.
We saw some movies.
We started reviewing Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 3, actually.
Was it Spider-Man 3 or was it... I thought we reviewed both.
Mm-mm. No, just Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man 3. Fair enough. Yeah. Anyway, that's irrelevant. We talked about Percy Jackson and the Olympians, which neither
we
one of
just,
us saw.
You skipped some in the middle. Well, you started reviewing Spider-Man 3, then we did Percy Jackson.
We also talked about The Wolfman, which we're both excited to see, even though neither one of us could make it to a screening, whether it be for weather or the sake of watching... great primetime television. We also both saw Valentine's Day, but I think it's pretty clear what we think about that movie.
Well, I said I don't know. I'm kind of like right on the fence. Kind of sucks. Kind of. Well, it's kind of rocks if you're the audience. If you're the kind of person who's going to like this movie, it's going to kind of rock.
I don't even think so, man.
I totally.
It's too long. It needed to be about half an hour shorter, and it would be tolerable.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, time to move along to the world famous segment known as the DVD Roundup. And I've only got two this week because it's kind of, in my opinion, a very light week.
Oh, wait till we get to next week.
Yeah.
Have you looked ahead to next week? There's nothing.
No, there's nothing? Excellent. That'll make my Blu-ray column so easy to do. this week, though, A Serious Man... which is the Coen Brothers movie that, for some reason, nobody saw this movie.
Well, apparently the people who nominated Oscars saw it.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's funny to me when I looked up the box office for the Oscar Best Pictures, like, this one was so low, and I had forgotten that it didn't make any money. No. But it's a very good film. It's very, very kind of offbeat, cool drama from the Coen Brothers. Mm. Bronson, which is kind of on the other side of the spectrum, also very good, but very intense visual stimulation type movie, and kind of an intense story, but a great performance from Tom Hardy at the center of it. Yeah. So, I don't even want to know what your first one is. I see what it is. In
Couples
the notes
Retreat.
I want to punch you.
Did you not like this movie at all?
The
you
magic.
Hated it.
This movie was awful.
I thought it was funny.
Whatever.
It had its problems, and there was stuff that they edited out of it that you could tell they edited it out. But I thought it was a funny movie. I mean, for what it was, just a goofy couples sort of funny movie, I liked it. I thought it was okay. And Stargate Universe season 1.0, which I'm a huge Stargate fan. We mentioned this earlier, but it's sort of like they said, let's do a Battlestar Galactica version of Stargate without the Cylons. and without the cool villains from Stargate. It's literally...
I'm going to have to watch it. I have a copy of it sitting there, and I have not watched it yet.
I mean, it's not awful, but it's not Stargate, SG-1, or Atlantis. It's a very different kind of show. It's more sort of like a Lost in Space. It is Lost in Space. It's literally the travelers are out there, and there's more or less fighting against the circumstances rather than fighting against any villain. So we'll see if that gets better as it goes on. I mean, I will always watch Stargate because I like it. The Time Traveler's Wife, which I believe there's a good drinking game for Valentine's Day if you want to check that out on Film School Rejects.
Yep.
I'm going to skip the next one on the list, and I'll just run through the other ones. Emma, the BBC's miniseries Emma, which is great if you like Jane Austen. I mean, I'm not a Jane Austen fan, but it's a well-done film. Army Wives Season 3, Gary Unmarried Season 1, I Hate Valentine's Day with Nia Vardalos.
Which might actually be a better Valentine's Day movie than Valentine's Day.
Possibly. Freestyle with Corbin Bleu, your favorite. And 13, The Conspiracy with Val Kilmer, a very chubby Val Kilmer. Want to check that one out. But the other one is, I got to kind of point out, have you seen Midgets versus Mascots?
I have a copy of it, and we're planning some sort of group screening here at Reject HQ for all of our friends that like, for lack of a better word, crap.
Yeah, it's not a great movie, but it
stars Ron Jeremy, Scottie Pippen, Peter Dinklage, Gary Coleman, the guy who looks kind of like Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
And
well, but Scottie Pippen and Ron Jeremy, they're just in bits and parts. I mean, Gary Coleman has a sizable part, quite literally has a sizable part in this movie. It's an offensively awful movie, but you know what? I have to say I laughed at quite a few moments.
I can't imagine why you wouldn't laugh at a movie like that.
And if you don't laugh, you're a better person than I am, because it's kind of one of those, you kind of have to see it to believe it. It's about a guy who dies and has a competition for his will of midgets versus mascots, and whoever wins gets to take home the money.
Nice.
It's offensive, but it's funny. And if you buy it online, did you get the condoms? They have midget condoms.
No.
They have a little package of midget condoms that they sent.
Oh man, that's too far.
Yeah, it was a little too far.
But awesome at the same time. All right, what's our stinker this week?
The Stepfather, the remake of The Stepfather, one of the worst movies of the year. It was so awful.
Sorry, guy from Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
You're just not doing it.
Gossip Girl and Nip Tuck.
Anyway, I think we've already pretty much wrapped up this week's reviews. Valentine's Day was the only movie we saw. I said totally sucks, and you were undecided?
I'm kind of right on the fence. I didn't think it was great, but it's going to be kind of rocks for if you like that kind of thing.
Okay. Next week, we've got Shutter Island, which should be pretty awesome. I'm pretty sure we're both going to see it.
I am seeing it.
I am also seeing it.
And it is in town, so I don't have to drive during
the season. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about The Wolfman next week.
Yeah.
We'll kind of step back. And Percy Jackson. I think we're both going to see Percy Jackson, too. In the meantime, get over to FatGuysMovies.com. Do the iTunes thing that I told you about. And until next week, have a wonderful time out there.
Word.